I want you to take your Bible this morning, go over to Job chapter 3. Job chapter 3. Now, I love it when times of Sunday school run into my message. And the singing works real good. And I want to preach. And I think God's trying to do something for somebody. He might be trying to do something for me. And I want to preach this morning out of Job chapter 3 on in a time of trouble. Most of us know who Job is. If you've been in Sunday school any time, if you've read your Bible, you understand the life of Job. You may not understand everything Job said in here, because I still struggle with some things. But I do know that Job went through trouble. And in Job chapter 3, he has begun to make his complaint to his friends in this chapter. In this chapter right here, he begins to mourn and to complain of the day that he was born, as a matter of fact. He said, what Job says in his chapter, till we get to the very end, he's saying, I wished I would have never been born. That's what Job is saying. So let's stand to our feet this morning, if we would, as we reverence the reading of God's Word. And in Job chapter 3, look with me in verse 23, Job 3 and verse 23. And let me say this, God can help you through any trouble that you're going through. And I think we understood that and learned that from Sunday school. Well, it just goes everywhere, don't it, Brother Jeff? I'll tell you. If you could have seen it, we got papers and everything up here in the corner. I mean, for a Sunday school teacher, all his notes is now on the floor. Amen. Amen. I hear you, brother. Amen. We'll get this mess straightened up. We'll get started. We'll have to cut all this out. We'll have to cut all this out on the tape and cut it out on the video, won't we? Amen. Amen. At least it's you, brother, not me, is all I know to say. Amen. Amen. Job chapter 3, look in verse 23. And the Bible said, why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in? For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you, we love you, and we thank you. I thank you most of all for Jesus who came and died for us so that we might get saved. Lord, we thank you not only for the plan of salvation, but for the action of it, for the very fact that you said if we would come to you and ask, you would do that. And all we had to do was believe. And Lord, and we thank you for that this morning. Lord, we ask now that while we preach a little while, we certainly need unction from the Holy One and need a touch from you. And Lord, I have no doubt in my mind and in my heart there's somebody in here struggling with trouble this morning. And Lord, it may be trouble that everybody knows about, or it might be trouble that nobody knows about, that, Lord, they're just harboring this on the inside, and it's just between you and them. And Lord, they feel like that you might have left them or deserted them, or Lord, that you've turned your back upon them, or they don't understand why the trouble has came. And Lord, they've been faithful to you, but they still don't understand. And I pray this morning while we might preach that you'd give us clarity of speech and clarity of mind. And Lord, that you would touch that one heart, or maybe more than one, that just needs some help or some instruction from the Word of God. I pray that they'd find help in you. Help that one that just needs you this morning, and we'll give you the glory for it all. I'll tell you that we love you and ask you to say that sinner that's nearest to you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The book of Job is about a righteous man. If you go back to chapter 1, you'll find out that the Bible said that he was a perfect and upright man who loved God. And the Bible said that he eschewed evil, but yet trouble came in his life. Now, the one thing that we know different than Job knew, that we have chapter 1 and chapter 2 of the book of Job. We have exactly what took place in heaven. Job didn't have this. Job didn't understand that Satan presented himself to God, and God said, hast thou considered my servant Job. Job didn't know that. In chapter 2, again, when Satan came, and the Lord said, he said right here, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. And in verse 4, Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee that I face. And so we didn't know, Job didn't know that in verse 7 that Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job. He didn't realize that God had allowed all this to happen. He didn't know, he didn't have this in the back of his mind, know what was going on, that Satan had been unleashed against him. He didn't realize that God had drawn back the hedges about him, about everything that he had, and about his family. God had lifted the hedges up. There's 42 chapters in the book of Job, and there's 42 months in the tribulation period. So I would dare say that the book of Job is a book of tribulation, wouldn't you? It is the oldest book in the Bible, so they taught us in school. And to be honest with you, I always wondered, out of all the books, and y'all have heard me say this, most of you have, out of all the books in the Bible, why did God let this one be the oldest one? Now think about that. Let that sink in. What I'm asking you is, why did God let a book about a man who's suffering trouble, that loved him and served him, but yet he went through trouble? Why was that the very first book that God allowed to be written? Think about that for just a second. You read the book of Job, you find a lot of typology of the Lord Jesus Christ in Job's life. When I read through there and I read about how everybody forsook him, how that Job was a just man and an upright man, but yet he suffered not because of his own sake. You know, Christ didn't suffer because of his sake. He suffered because of my sake and because of your sake this morning. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Listen, we're forgiven today because of Christ, because he suffered for us. But when I come and I look at the text scripture that we read in chapter 3, I read that Job, as he talks about why is light given to a man whose way is hid. And I believe that light is, he's making reference to there, the light of life. But he says, my way is hid in whom God hath hedged in. I mean, God has stopped Job in his life. God has brought Job to a screeching halt, and I mean with all the trouble that he has suffered to. And Job says, why is this light of life given to me if I can't go any further? Look, he said, my sign is before I eat, my roarings, it's poured out like the water. I mean, Job was just in bad shape. I would dare say that many of us have suffered troubles, but none of us has suffered like Job. We're going to look at some of this here in a minute. But then in verse 25, Job said, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is coming to me. And Job kept in the back of his mind, and he was reminded, I no doubt, and I've heard some of you parents talk, you know, you talk about wanting to raise your children. I would dare say one of the things that Job feared was losing his children. And he lost every one of them. I would say that the thing that Job might have worried about maybe was losing his health, or maybe was losing the relationship with his wife, which he did. But I kind of think that in verse 25, that when he talks about the thing that was greatly feared and what he was afraid of, is Job couldn't get a hold of God. I think that's what he feared more than anything. And what he was afraid of more than anything. You know, one of the worst fears that I have, Brother Marvin, is when I stand up here, God don't show up. That scares me to death. Now, I know that he worried about all this other stuff. I understand that. But I really believe that one of the things that Job feared greatly was that God had hid his face from him. And then Job makes his complaint and he makes his justification. And he said, I was not in safety, neither had I rest, and neither was I quiet. What Job is saying there is, I was not being lazy, I had not quit God. I had not quit doing what I was supposed to do. I wasn't sitting back and saying, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Job said, look, I was doing everything that I was supposed to do. And then he makes a statement at the end of verse 26, yet trouble came. Job was serving God like he was supposed to be serving God, and yet trouble came. I think sometimes we have a misconception that trouble will not come as long as we're being faithful to God. I think we have a misconception that if trouble does come, that it will be a bump in the road. God will shine His face down on us. And it'll all be better come tomorrow. It ain't always that way. And we sometimes as Christians want to tell another Christian to buck up and pat him on the back and say, it'll be all right. We're on the outside looking in. Listen, and we understand it'll be all right. We understand that they'll come through. We understand that. But it's hard to tell somebody that when they're in the midst of their trouble and get them to understand that. And so Job said, I was doing everything that I was supposed to do, and yet trouble came. You know, if you look over in chapter 2 and verse 3 before I get started, you know what the Lord said about Job? He said that he was perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. But you know what he said before that? When he came to Satan again and said, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? You know what God said about Job? Job's one of a kind. There's nobody else like Job in the world. And yet God chose Job. Satan didn't choose Job. God chose Job. Because he said, hast thou considered my servant Job? Let me ask you something this morning. You reckon God chooses you for trouble? I know that some trouble is of our own making. And I know sometimes trouble comes simply because that we're man or woman born of trouble. And just got a few days, don't we? But you know, I think every now and again, God chooses us for trouble. I want you to look, number one, at the trouble that Job had. Even though he was a perfect and upright man, although he was one of a kind, and he was not dwelling in safety, neither he had rest, neither was he quiet, he was still serving God like he was supposed to serve, but yet the trouble came. We know that Job lost his finances and his family and his fitness and all his friends. We understand that. I want you to look in chapter 2 and look at verse 7. And the Bible said, So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. We read over that and we say, well, Job had boils on him and he sat there and he scraped. He said, think about this for a minute. What your Bible said talks about from the sole of his feet all the way to the crown of his head. You know what a boil is? It's them little things that jump up on you sometimes from the size of a pea all the way to the size of a golf ball and they swell up and they've got a head on them and they get real tender and red. Job had these all over his body. From the very top of his head down to the bottom of his feet. I asked my wife this last night. We were laying in the bed getting ready to go to sleep. And I said, reckon Job could walk. Think about that for just a second. The Bible said that he had them where? He had them where at? He had them on the sole of his foot. They were on the bottom. I mean, how did he walk? How did he lay down to rest if he was covered with boils? And most of us has had one boil or maybe two. And listen, the one thing you want to do is get relief from that thing. And the Bible said that he took potsherd, broken pottery, and he sat down in the ashes, over in the dirt in the ashes, and he began to scrape these boils so that it would let the pressure off. And imagine what he looked like. Here's such a man that he's covered in boils, that he's raked himself over with potsherd and stuff's just running and oozing out of him. He's bleeding everywhere. Think about it. How did he lay down to rest? You know, the Bible, Job said in Job chapter 19, Or in Job chapter 7, he said, my flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and becometh loathsome. He sat in the dirt and ashes. Job wasn't clean. Here he sits. He's bleeding all over. He's got stuff running out of him. It's full of, I believe the worms was on him now at this time. You know, the Bible talked about the Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah chapter 52 that his visage was marred more than any man. Christ Jesus didn't even look like a man when they beat on him and they took him to Calvary. You go back to chapter 2, the Bible said that when his friends come in here to comfort him, they made an appointment to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. He said in verse 12, and when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not. Job didn't even look like himself. Job was skin and bones. I mean, listen, if you go and you look at everything, he said in Job 19, he said, my bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I'm escaped with the skin of my teeth. Job wasn't, I believe at another point, he talks about all the bile, and he didn't use the word bile, but everything that he was throwing up out of his stomach, he wasn't eating. And so you know what happens when you are that way. Job was just in a mess, is what I'm trying to tell you. Just with his health. Job couldn't lay down and go to sleep. He said, when I lie down in Job 7, he said, I say, when shall I arise and the night be gone, and I am full of tossings to and fro under the dawning of day. He said, when I lay down, he said, I was tossed to and fro. I go back and forth. I look in Job 7 again in verse 13. He said, when I say, my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaint, then thou scarest me with dreams and terrifies me through visions. If he did get to sleep, he had nightmares. Would you say this man's got trouble? Would you say that this man hated to see night come, but yet he hated to see morning come even more? You ever been there? You hated to see night come because you was going to have to lay down and go to sleep, and your mind was going to run away with you when you laid in that bed. Would you say that Job's mental stability might be a little rocky at times? Are we doing okay? All right. Job's physical health. I mean, listen, I mean, he didn't have any physical health. I mean, he was just on the verge of dying. He was just on this side of life. And to be honest with you, Job didn't want to live anymore. Not only was Job physically hurting, but he was hurting on the inside because he had all the memories of what's happened. He's got the memories of what has happened to his children. Those children that he interceded for, God took them from him. He's got the memory of his wife that come out to her and said, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Won't you just curse God and die? He's got the memory of that. She ain't even coming around. We'll see that here in a minute. Job's finances was gone. I don't even know if Job really cared about his finances. He don't even really talk about that. He really don't. I mean, we know he lost them, but you know, Job don't even really talk about his finances. Because you know something, you have to really grasp something. In a time of trouble, we need to figure out what is really important. And I'm going to be honest with you, money ain't really important. Material things are not really important. Because everything in this world that is here, that's been built, made upon the face of this earth, can always be replaced. But your family, your wife or husband, your children, your health cannot be. So here comes his friends in chapter 2 and verse 11. And it said at the very end, it said they come to mourn with him and to comfort him. That was a good thing for them to do if they would have just done it. Here sits Job in a time of trouble like no man had ever seen before. I mean, he was a wreck. He was a mess. And all he needed was somebody to come and help him. All he needed was somebody to come and love on him. I'm not telling him it's going to be okay. I'm not telling him just to look up, but to go sit in the dirt and the ashes with him and just sit there. You know, sometimes that's all people need. They need you to sit in the ashes with them. They don't need to hear it's going to be okay. They don't need you to come down there and quote Romans 8:28 sometimes. They know that. They know Romans 8:28. And by the way, Job didn't even have Romans 8:28. And I believe Romans 8:28. I know all things will work to good for them that love God, and they're called according to His purpose. I know that scripture. You know, sometimes you can tell me, but I need more than just being told something. I need folk to just sit down with me and put their arm up around you and say, I'm praying for you. I ain't forgot you. And if you need me, you call me. That's what Job needed from these three friends. But you know, when Eliphaz got to talking in chapter 4, he began to make his accusation against Job. Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar come in from afar off to begin to blame Job for what he was going through. Can I tell you this, that Job was already searching his heart for the situation that he was in. He says at one time, he said, look, I've already looked at the sins of my youth. He said, I've already considered. He said, I've already went back and I've already... How many of us has ever done that? When trouble has showed up in our life, we begin to look back and we begin to consider and think about, what have I done to cause this? I think that's a good for us to do. Because if we caused it, then we fix it. Right? We just get right with the Lord. That'll help. Always helps to get right with the Lord. Amen? But they came, instead to comfort, they came to accuse him. In Job 16, he said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. He said, boy, you're miserable at your job. In Job 13, he said, you're forgers of lies, but you're forgers of lies. You're all physicians of no value. His friends came, and Job says, you were supposed to come and help me and help heal me and give me something that would do good for me. But he says, you're physicians of no value. In Job chapter 32, by the way, I get it in my mind that it's just Job and these three men sitting out in the dirt and the dust. But you know what? There was another man out there by the name of Elihu. Go over to chapter 32. And you'll find that that young man by the name of Elihu, after they all got done talking, he lays in to Job's friends and says that what? He says his wrath was kindled because they had found no answer. And yet had condemned Job. They had not come to an answer of what caused Job's trouble, but yet they condemned him for it. How many of us are guilty of doing that for somebody else? Well, reckon what they did to bring this trouble on upon their family. Nobody seemed to care for Job. Take your Bible and go to Job 19. Nobody seemed to care for Job. Job seemed to be all alone. Has there ever been a time where you just felt all alone? In the midst of your trouble, you wondered where God was, and you were just alone. Look in verse 13. He hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintances are verily estranged from me. My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I called my servant, and he gave to me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of my own body. Yea, young children despise me. I arose, and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. Job said, everybody is against me right now. I think they were. The three best friends that Job had come from afar off to accuse him of something. He said, even children, they despise me. They speak against me. He said, my inward friends, the best friends that I've had, they that loved me, have turned against me. He said, even my breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of my own body. He said, even my wife don't even come around me. She ain't kissed me, and I tell you when. You know, she come out there and said, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Won't you just curse God and die? He said, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we not receive good at the hand of God, not evil also? I don't know if I've painted a picture of Job's trouble as good as you need to see. But Job felt forsaken. Job felt left. Imagine how Job felt physically. I mean, everything that he said, and listen, all this, I mean, I don't know how long it was between losing his finances and his children. And then he lost his health and lost his wife. I don't know how long all that becomes separated. But I know that Job sat out there in the ashes long enough that he became unrecognizable. That he had lost so much weight that nobody, his friends from afar off come in and was looking at him and didn't even know him. It ain't like this happened yesterday and they're there today. It ain't like God put trouble on him yesterday and 3 or 4 days later God's going to pull it off. He has suffered through this for a long time. Sometimes we think trouble ought to be here today and gone tomorrow. It don't work that way. The trouble Job had was not of his own making, but it was great. It was not understandable, everything that Job suffered through. It's hard for me to grasp that. I'll be honest with you, church. It's hard for me to grasp the trouble that Job went through. And he went through it all because he loved God. Makes you want to love God more, don't it? I would rather suffer in trouble knowing that I know Him and He knows me than to suffer in trouble without Him. But number two, not only the trouble Job had, but then number two, look at the trust that Job had. If you take your Bible and go to Job chapter 13, look at the trust that he had. I want you to read this. Underline this in your Bible. Circle it. Do something. Because I want you to understand the trust that Job really had. Job's doing this without the Bible. Job is trusting without having known of Calvary. Right? Job is trusting knowing, not knowing about the empty tomb. You know, Hebrews 13 talks about that they looked off and that for the promises that were to come. I was talking about Calvary. It's talking about the church. I was talking about what He has done for us that we have in the Scripture. Job didn't have this stuff. But yet he trusted God. Look in verse 15. Job 13 verse 15. Though He slay me, talking about the Lord, yet I will trust in Him. But I will maintain mine own ways before Him. He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before Him. Notice what Job said. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in Him. This thing that God has put on me, this thing that God has caused to happen in my life, it's going to kill me. But I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to trust that even if it does kill me, He knew what He was doing when He done it. That's pretty big trust, ain't it? Here sits a man that has took broken pottery and scraped himself and he's bleeding all over and got stuff running out of him. He's lost his children, his mental, no doubt his mental. And listen, I don't know if I could have held it all together. I think Job's done extra well in holding it together, if you want to know the truth. We stump our toe and we can't hold it together sometimes. My wife was complaining about her head hurting the other day, and she walked in her closet and stumped her toe on something in there. And boy, she was complaining about that toe. I said, "Is your head hurting?" And you know what she said? She said, "No, my toe is." I thought it was funny. I don't know if she did or not. Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." He said, "He shall be my salvation. When I come through this thing on the other side, I know it's going to be because of him." You know how much trust that Job actually had? If you go over to Job chapter 19, go back over there, and you know what he said? He said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." You know, he had better knowledge than a lot of people do today. I mean, he understood the Lord was coming. He understood there was going to be a resurrection. Because he said, "I'm going to see in my body." Job understood he was going to get a new body. He said, "Skin worms will destroy my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Job understood that there was a finality and a day coming that he would see the one that he had been trusting. Even though it seemed like God was going to kill him, he was going to trust him. Even in Job's complaint, he was going to trust him. I want to show you something. Go to Job chapter 23. I've preached this scripture many times. I like to preach it in revival. Now, if you're in trouble this morning, if you're suffering through trouble, just trust the Lord. You say, "Preacher, you're doing what you said." But all I can tell you is trust the Lord. I'll hug up on you. If I know you're in trouble, I'll hug up on you. I'll love on you the best that I know how. But I'm just going to tell you, trust the Lord. But I want to show you something about Job right here. I mean, man, I'll be honest with you. I don't ever want to go through the trouble that Job had. I don't, you know, the Bible talks about the patience of Job. He just had to wait on God, didn't he? Look in chapter 23 and verse 1. "Then Job answered and said, Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." He's talking about God. He said, "If I could just find God, I'd come to him." Can I ask you something? In the midst of your trouble, has it ever been a time that you couldn't pray? You know, I told you a couple weeks ago that when anybody asks us to pray, we're going to make a big deal out of it, because they need us to pray. Because I learned a great lesson with Kelly being in the hospital. I learned a great lesson that sometimes you need people to pray. You're not only asking them that just to ask them. You're really begging them to pray. You want them to pray. You want them to intercede and get in touch with God for you. And I remember what Sister Kathy said after the service. She's talking about when Brother Worth was sick. That was her daddy. And she had took care of him, had him in Texas and Mexico and back and forth. And he was just sick, and she had took care of him. She said, "You know, there come a time that I just couldn't pray." And that's what Romans 8 talks about over there, that the Spirit maketh intercession for us. But Job said, "I can't find him." In verse 4, he said, "If I could get to him," he said, "I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me." He said, "If I could just get over there and talk to him," he said, "I would know why I am the way that I am right now." He said, "I would understand what he's telling me." See, it was one thing for Job to be in trouble, but it was another that he couldn't find God. It seems like God had veiled himself. Verse 6, will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. And then verse 8, he said, behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, that's what I like to preach out of a lot of times. We see God doing something for everybody else, but we sure don't see him doing nothing for us. But I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. But then look in verse 10. After everything Job just said, I can't find him, I can't see him, I can't talk to him, he ain't there. But then in verse 10, he said this about the Lord. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job said, I may not be able to see him, but he sees me. That's what Job trusted in. He trusted in the very fact that God, he may have veiled himself to Job's eyes, but Job was not veiled to his eyes. Job couldn't see him, but God could see Job. I was reminded of Mark chapter 6 as I read this, of what it said about the Lord. After the Lord had fed the 5,000, he had went to put them away and put his disciples in a ship. And the Bible said, and when he sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. The Bible tells us that they were, 25 to 30 furlongs out in the middle of the Sea of Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee, which is 3 to 3.5 miles. They were out in the middle of that thing. Jesus was alone on the land, but yet the Bible said he saw them toiling and rowing, and it was nighttime. How'd he do that? If they were 3.5 miles out in the middle of that sea, and it was dark, and he was on the land, how did he see them? The same way he sees me and you from heaven. He just sees us. He's ever watching. If you read Psalms 121, let me just go read it. Psalms 121. The psalmist talks about, stay with me now. You may feel like Job right now, but I want you to understand that if you're his, he's watching you. He's got his eyes upon you. You know, the Lord said over there, you know, if the Lord sees a sparrow fall out of the air, he says, then you're more important than the fowl of the air. The very hairs are numbered on your head. He knows you. Look in Psalms 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Boy, ain't that the one you need help from? The creator of it all. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. God ain't forgot, and God ain't went to sleep, and God ain't dozing off. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. If you read the book of Psalms, David was a man that trusted the Lord. And one psalm would be up, and the next psalm would be down. One psalm would be up, and the next psalm would be down. Why? Because David was a man, and he suffered through trouble. If you're founded on the Lord this morning, he knows. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And he still got you. Psalms chapter 37 talks about how that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Talks about how that David said, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed a begging bread. He ever lendeth, the Bible talks about. How do we trust in the midst of trouble? We trust in the very fact that he's promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. We trust in the very fact of what His Word has to say. Me and you can believe this book and put our faith in it. And you can trust in His past work. I think Job looked back and was reminded about what God had done in the past for him. You know why I just keep going sometimes? Because I look back at what God's done for me. I carry this little card as always a reminder of that. Miss Tammy's done gone on home to be with the Lord now. And y'all that went to the nursing home with us when we could still go, remember Miss Tammy. You remember who she was. But that was a card that she handed me. It was at Christmas time. I guess that's been about 2 or 3 years ago. And I've told you this story too, but as I sat in my study one Thursday night, as I was getting ready to go to the nursing home on Friday morning to sing and preach, I'd say, "Lord, do I really need to be over there?" You don't know. You know, the nursing home is a hard place to go sometimes because you don't see much fruit out of the nursing home. You just don't see it. They're sleeping part of the time. I've seen them throw milk at each other. I've seen them get mad at each other. That may be me and you one day. I tell them over there all the time, I say, "Look, if y'all ever get me over here, I'm going to be the one running the show. Don't y'all forget that." But I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, just let somebody tell me that I'm a blessing or that I'm needed over there." I mean, I was feeling low. Wasn't in trouble. It wasn't trouble. I was just feeling low. You ever just feel low about what you do for the Lord, wondering if you're doing any good? And by the way, I have seen fruit over there. We had two men get saved on the same day. One before I started preaching, and the other when I got done preaching that day. But you know, I went over there and Tammy handed me this card. When I walked in, she handed me the card. And I slid it in my Bible and I went on about my way and I carried my guitar in. And I sung and I preached and I kind of even stood around just waiting for somebody to come and tell me how good of a job I was doing and that, boy, I was a blessing to them. But yet that didn't happen. And I take my Bible and my guitar and I walk back out the door and I'm just shaking my head and wondering if it's any good. And somewhere between Saturday and Monday, I don't remember when it was, I was in my study and I remembered, I seen the envelope that this card was in. I said, "I need to read that, what Miss Tammy wrote me." And it said Merry Christmas on the front of it. And I know I've read this to most of you. It says, "Dear Mark and Kelly, I hope you and your family have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year." And then she said this, "Mark, you have been a blessing to me. You preach some good services. You are a blessing to me." I had it when I first walked in the door and didn't even know it. I mean, she handed, as soon as I walked in the door, she greeted me and handed me that card. The answer to my prayer was right there. Sometimes we miss what we're looking for sometimes because it don't come the way that we think it should. I don't know how I got off on it, but it's good. Oh, what the Lord's done for us in the past. But then number three, and the good part, there finally came a termination of Job's trouble. They're finally coming into it. If you look in chapter 42, now you have to understand, God from chapter 32, somewhere in chapter 32 to chapter 42, God's done the talking. From chapter 3 to chapter 31, Job's three friends and Job done the talking. But from about 32 over to 42, because Elihu steps out on the scene, and the Bible talks about Job, said, "So these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. And then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barkel the Buzite, of the kindred of Ram against Job." Say, he was mad at Job. He said against Job was his wrath kindled because he justified himself rather than God. And then in the next verse it talks about why his wrath was kindled against his three friends. And you know, from chapter 32 on to chapter 41, God lays out to Job who he was or who he is. He talks about, Job, was you over there when I laid the foundations of the earth? Have you seen the Leviathan, Job? Was you there when I created all this? Did you see it all happen? And God began to tell Job how great he was and how little Job was. You know, in chapter 42, if you look, well, let's just look in verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare it unto declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. And in verse 6, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now, where did Job start at? Where do we find Job at when his three friends come? He's sitting in ashes, ain't he? Where do we find Job ending up at? In dust and ashes. Job never moved. He's right there. God wanted Job to learn some things in his trouble. We justify ourselves a lot of times in the midst of our trouble. Why has this happened to me? I am right with God. I know I'm right with God. But if we ain't careful, we'll let the justification of ourselves allow us to miss what God is trying to teach us. Job said, I've heard of you, Lord, but now I've seen you through all this. You know what the Apostle Paul talked about over in the book of 2 Corinthians when the Lord talked about, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Paul said, then I'll glory in my infirmities. I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It did come to an end. Job's trouble finally come to an end. If you look in verse 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends, you realize God told Eliphaz over, I said, you're going to have to take sacrifice, you and your two other fellas. You need to go to Job. Let him pray for you because you've told him wrong. And you know what Job done? He prayed for his three friends. Those that were miserable comforters and worthless physicians, Job prayed for them. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. During the time of trouble, Job could not see the end. And may wondered if there was going to be an end. You ever wondered if there was going to be an end to the trouble that you're in? Ever wondered if it was ever going to come to a screeching halt? If everything is just going to be like it was before? I have a picture, biggest picture I got on my study desk. And my wife really don't like this picture, but I love it. I'm going to throw you under the bus again, honey. She's used to it by now. No, she's... Brother Jeff took it of us over here in the fellowship hall one day. We had a birthday party over there. And it's me and her sitting beside each other. And for some reason, I am just hee-hawing. And she's got a smirk on her face and got her head turned sideways, you know, like she could really care about what was going on. And I've got that sitting on my study desk. But you know, in a time of trouble, and I've been there before, I'll look at that picture on my study desk and I'll say, boy, I wished I was that feller today. Lifing and cutting up and carrying on. Because that was a good day. And I look at that and I say, well, I wish I'm him today. You know, Job, there's no doubt. He said, boy, I wish I was who I used to be. I wish I had my health and had my children back, had my wife back, my friends back. And I'd even take my finances back if the Lord would send them. And that he would help my mind and help my body. But you know what? There come a day when that actually happened for Job. God actually took away Job's trouble. And in verse 11 it said, then there came unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintances before and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima, and the second of the Kiza, and the name of the third Kernhapik. And in all the land, were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. There was a termination to Job's trouble. God finally took it away. God brought him through that and he took it away. Sometimes I wonder if it was when Job saw what he was supposed to see. Sometimes it's when me and you finally get to the place that we tell the Lord, Lord, I can't handle it. I can't deal with it. I can't take it. And we see him for who he is. But it did come to an end. That's why I always remind you, when you see that terminology in the Bible, and it came to pass, you better underline it. Because it eventually will come to pass. Let's bow our heads this morning. I don't know what kind of trouble you're in, Brother Martin, just come play. I don't know what kind of trouble you're in this morning. I don't know if you got trouble. This may serve as a warning. I hope it does. I hope it serves as a help. I hope you're not having trouble like Job did. But I'd hate to face trouble without the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, I'm telling you, He loves you and wants to take care of you. And if you don't know Him today, the greatest thing you can ever do is come and get saved. By simply believing that Jesus lived and died and rose again and asked Him to come and save you. He died for you, friend. He took your sins. Calvary died for you. And He's the one that I face all this week. And sometimes when I can't find Him, I have to be like Job. I may not see Him, but well, if I could get there, I'd tell Him some things. Let me ask you to do something. Just stand to your feet with your heads bowed. Let's just stand this morning.